We talked about the prophet Ezekiel and how he prophesied over those dry, dead bones. And he said, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord and come alive, and I will make breath enter you. And we talked about how the breath is the breath of the living God, the Holy Spirit. And you have that same Holy Spirit in you. So don't believe for a minute that you don't, because you do. If you are a Christ follower, you have the Holy Spirit, not just with you, but in you. Girls, it just doesn't get any better than that. And this morning, I want to share with you a little bit of my own journey in an area of weakness in my life. Now, I promise you this weekend that I'm going to be authentic. So, I mean, if I'm too authentic for you, that's okay. You know, you can tell Tracy that after. But I'm inviting you to also be authentic. Because here's the thing. I don't think we get anywhere by faking, do we? I don't think we get anywhere by pretending to be something we're not. So, ever since I was a little girl, I struggled a little bit with insecurity, you know, and anxiety. I wanted to be better. You know, I would look at the kids that were great artists and I would think, I want to be a great artist like her. Or I would listen to people like Emily who play the piano and I would think, ah, God, I want to play the piano like that. Or I would listen to a great speaker and I would think, I want to be a speaker like that. Or I would look at different things and I would compare myself to that person. And this has been a continual journey in my life. It's not like God healed that instantly in my life. And I can tell you now, you know, oh, I never compare myself to someone else. Because that's just not truth. So a few months ago now, you know, as authors, our publishing companies put a little bit of pressure on us to have what's called an author speaker Facebook page. And actually, the drummer here, Jared, he makes me look so much better than I am because he does all that for me. Now, I post on my own Facebook, but I just don't understand the way it works. So if I mess it up somehow, he always fixes it. Anyway, on your author speaker page, you're supposed to get likes. Do you know about Facebook? How many of you have Facebooks? Oh, look at you. You are an in crowd. You go, girls. You go. Anyway, so you're supposed to get all these likes. So I got this invitation from one of my other author speaker friends to like her author speaker Facebook page. So I thought, well, sure, why not? I mean, we need to like each other. So I hit her page, and that's when my anxiety attack started. She had 3,500 author speaker Facebook likes, and I only had 1,000. And I thought, oh my word, people don't like me as well as her. She's better than me, and look how savvy she is at technology. Look at all these likes. And I was really starting to obsess over this. And you know, I started to have a conversation with God, like, God, you ever have these conversations with God? Nod your head if you're with me. I mean, my conversation with God went something like this. Lord, you could have made me a better speaker. You could have made me a better writer. You could have given me more Facebook friends. I want to be like my friend. Why didn't you make me be like, let's say, Beth Moore? I mean, there's a speaker, right? And, you know, I am convinced, here's a theological truth for you, I am convinced that sometimes God rolls his eyes. So as I'm whining to God, God, why don't I have as many likes as her? I can just see God up there. Here we go again, Becky. This is who I created you to be. You be who I've created you to be, and you'll struggle less with anxiety. How about you just praise me for who I created you to be? You know, we do this as women. I think we do this a little more as women than the men do. I could be wrong. Men are competitive, so they may compare in other areas, but we women are famous for this, aren't we? I mean, we walk in the room and we look and we think, oh, I want her jeans. I want her hair. I want her body. I want her husband, we might think. Because mine hasn't been so nice lately. Or you go into Starbucks and you think, wow, that hot barista behind the counter, he's looking mighty fine. You know, or women, I think, here's my theory. I think women on a beach look more at each other's bodies than men do. Am I right? I mean, you're sitting there on the beach on your beach towel, and here comes some cute little 20-something in her little string bikini, and you're thinking, wow, those were the days. Or maybe they never were. Am I right? And we compare our children to other children. Have you ever been in a room with mothers of toddlers and the topic of potty training comes up? And all of a sudden, some mother of a toddler says, well, Johnny is 20 months and he's completely potty trained. Instant anxiety in the room. Every other young mother is thinking, oh my word, my child's 3. He's still having accidents. He may go to college in diapers. Why can't he get this? Panic attacks, right? And then, you know, you raise, how many of you raised teenagers and lived to tell about it? You're still alive. What about high school? And all of a sudden, your child is in their junior year and your best friend is saying, well, my child just got their acceptance letter to Harvard. And you're like, well, my child's decided they're not going to college. Or they're gonna take a few courses at the community college. Parents get psycho over this college thing, don't they? And sports? Because why? We're comparing. We want our child to be the best in the bunch. We want our husband to be the best in the bunch. And we certainly want ourselves to be the best in the bunch, right? But the problem with comparing is that it erodes our contentment and our confidence. Because when you are comparing yourself to someone else, two things are going to happen. Either you're going to come out on top and think, wow, I'm doing a little better than her, and that's not right. Or more likely, you're going to come out below. And then you're gonna feel insecure. Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I look like her? Why can't I play the piano like her? Why can't I make a pie like Martha Stewart? I mean, comparing erodes our contentment. And the problem is, God has called us to be content. Contentment with godliness is great gain. And it's hard to get there. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is hands down my favorite book. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you about my friend Mimi Wilson. Mimi Wilson grew up in Africa, and she's a remarkable woman. I love Mimi. She has one of the sweetest spirits of anybody I've ever met. And her mother lived in Africa for 52 years. Now, I know a thing or two about Africa because my husband grew up in Africa. His grandparents went out as missionaries in 1929. They went out when there were still cannibals. And my husband and I, you think I'm joking, I'm for real. And my husband and I served in the country of Sudan for 2 years. And actually, at the end of this month, we will be going to Nigeria together to visit the country where he grew up. But Mimi Wilson's mother had some profound thoughts for herself. She served in Africa for 52 years, and she had these 5 rules for herself, which are pretty profound because she wanted to be a content woman. So her first rule was never let yourself complain about anything, not even the weather. How many of you looked outside this morning and said, oh my word? I knew I was speaking on this, and I looked out the window and I thought, I know I'm gonna tell them those 5 rules, but this weather looks pretty nasty to me. Never complain about anything, not even the weather. Never picture yourself in any other circumstances or somewhere else. Girls, I think that's huge for us. Never picture yourself in another marriage. That's a recipe for disaster for your marriage. If you are married, You are in that marriage by God's appointment. And it is not his will that you be dreaming about being in a different marriage. Never picture yourself as a mother to someone else's child. If you are a mother, you are that child's mother because God appointed you as that. You celebrate what God's doing there. Third rule, never compare your lot with another's. You ever find yourself thinking, well, I mean, this. Here's another story. I got lots of stories today. You know, my husband and I own a house that we've been trying to sell for about 5 years. You know, houses can become a noose around your neck. Anyway, we have a renter in it, and that's great, and I'm blessed by that. But we also have a very young staff at our church. And last summer, everybody on staff bought a different home. And they were all selling their homes, and their homes were selling all quickly. And in my spirit, I thought, okay, God, we've been trying to sell this house for 5 years. Mimi's mother says, never compare your lot with another. Maybe God's pouring out blessing on these young guys, helping them sell their houses. What is that to me? God's poured out blessing on my life in other ways. Never allow yourself to wish this or that had been otherwise. Oh, God, I wish I had never gotten cancer. Don't even go there. God gave me cancer. Never dwell on tomorrow. You can look forward to tomorrow, but never dwell on tomorrow because each day has enough worry of its own. Seriously, I am a person who struggles with anxiety, and honestly, girls, some of that is because of the choices I make in my mind. If I'm thinking about what if this happens tomorrow, I'm setting myself up for anxiety. Paul writes in the book of Philippians that he has learned to be content in whatever circumstances he's in. And I love that word learned. If you have your Bible, I want you to take a pen and I want you to circle that word. I have learned Philippians 4 to be content. Philippians 4 verse 11. Paul says, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. And I have learned, he uses it again, circle it again, the secret of being content in every and any circumstance. Let me ask you, can you say that? I have discovered that comparing erodes my contentment. Praising God builds my contentment and my confidence. Because you see, when you're praising God, you're happy with yourself because you're so in love with God. It's incredible the transformation that happens in you. Paul writes in verses 4 through 8, I'm gonna read this to you so you can follow along or you can just listen. Rejoice in the Lord always. How is that possible, Paul? Rejoice in the Lord always. Do you know that when Paul wrote this letter, where he was in jail. Now, jail doesn't seem like a party event to me. It's not like Paul's writing from a glamorous 5-star hotel saying, you know, rejoice in everything. Then you wouldn't want to listen to him. No, he's writing this from a jail cell. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Really? But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How is this even possible? Do not be anxious about anything. As I struggle with this whole concept of anxiety, I needed a plan because I realized that I was so prone to anxiety. I mean, honestly, I don't know what your mind is like, but I start with one worry like, for example, when my teenage kids were out driving at night, I would worry about them. I mean, is there anything more out of control than your teenager driving? I mean, can I just get an amen? And, you know, they wouldn't get home in time. And I'd be obsessing about it in bed, thinking, oh my word, they broke down. They had a flat tire. They ran out of gas. They got in a car accident. And by the time they got home, I had them dead and buried, and I knew what I was wearing to the funeral. Because that's the way my mind works. You know, I would have one worry, and that worry would jump to another worry, and it was like a cup of marbles, really. You know, you let one marble out, and the whole thing tips over, and all of a sudden, you got all these random worries. And so I needed a mind adjustment. You know, managing my own mind is like a full-time job. Are any of you like that? I mean, managing my mind is like a full-time job because it's so random. I think I have probably 10,000 thoughts per minute, and I have to rein those in. And so Paul gives us the key to not struggling so much with anxiety. And let me just say, I realize that there is a medical condition that creates anxiety in your brain, and I'm not saying that. I'm saying when it's not medical, and even when it is medical, this is a good way to help with that. I'm not saying if you struggle with an anxiety disorder, take medicine, but do this too, okay? Because God's created medicine to help the broken parts of our body, but do this as well. And so Paul writes that the key is this: finally, brothers, finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. I had to learn to turn my panic into praise. I would have panic in the middle of the night when my kids were out driving. And I had a choice in that moment. I thought, I can just be swallowed up by this panic and never go back to sleep, or I can have a little self-management meeting here in bed. What did my self-management meeting look like? I began to turn my panic into praise. Lord Jesus, I praise you that you are almighty. You are with my children as they are out driving on these snowy roads. Lord Jesus, I praise you that you love my child even more than I love that child. Lord Jesus, I praise you that you have promised to be the provider of my needs. God, the checking account is looking a little low. I'm scared. I'm anxious because I don't know how we'll have enough to pay the bills next month. But Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. As I began to praise God, the peace that passes all understanding began to pervade my mind. You see, you have a choice. We live in a world that creates a lot of anxiety, don't we? I mean, turn on the news and you're like, wow, I got a lot to worry about tonight. Maybe it's your finances that you're worried about. Maybe you're comparing yourself to other people and you're thinking, well, she doesn't have the medical issues I have, or why are her children in a good relationship with her and mine aren't, or why does she have a good marriage and I don't? And you're eroding your contentment and your confidence. God is calling you this morning to make a better choice. It's a choice, girls. You're not going to feel like praising God at 2 a.m. tonight when you're trying to sleep and worry overtakes you. I guarantee it, you're not going to think, oh, I feel like praising Jesus. It's a choice you make. And as you begin to lift your focus to the Almighty One, he lifts your spirit as well. I believe as women, we need a plan for this. So develop for yourself some helps. when anxiety and worry and fear take over your mind, have a list right next to your bed of the names of God. Don't try to conjure them up in your head. Have them right there. In fact, if you want, there's a list of the names of God in the back of the 30-Day Praise Challenge book. Because I know what we're like as women, and we need a quick resource. God, where are those names of yours? I got to praise you, and I can't find your names. They're all right there for you. God, I praise you because you are Adonai. God, I praise you. You're the blessed controller of all things. God, I praise you because you are the mighty creator. God, I praise you because you provide for my every need. There are so many names of God. And as you lift your focus to the names of God, your spirits begin to lift. Or focus on the attributes of God. Focus on what you know to be true about God. Let me ask you, what do you know to be true about God? His word is filled with his attributes. I know that God is good. My circumstances may stink, but God is good. His word tells me that. I know that God loves me. I may not always feel like he loves me, but his word tells me he loves me. I know that to be true about God. I know that God loves my children. And now my grandchildren. And I may feel anxious about what's happening in their lives, but the truth is, God loves my children. You see, when you begin to focus on whatever is true, I think that's why Paul writes that one first. What's the truth in this situation? I learned a long time ago from my friend Cynthia Heald how to ask myself that question. You ever get in a quandary over, you know, maybe it's an argument with your husband, or maybe circumstances feel overwhelming and you're having an anxiety attack? Stop yourself in that moment and say, what is the truth in this situation? It has a profound effect. What is the truth in this situation? Maybe it's your teenager out driving at night. What's the truth in this situation? They probably just got caught up in a conversation and forgot to call you, and they're probably fine. What's the truth in the situation when you think we're almost out of money? The truth is, God promises he's going to provide for all your needs. Now, you might have to be creative. You might have to cut back in areas. You might have to even humble yourself and ask for help. But the truth is, God has promised that he will provide. When you feel like you're all alone, you know, maybe for you, your husband has walked out the door. I can't imagine that. I have friends who have gone through that. And you feel so alone. And you're swallowed by those feelings of being alone. Ask yourself this question. What is the truth in this situation? Because the truth is, God's word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I remember the first time that verse became so extremely precious to me. I had memorized it as a little girl. And I was laying in the hospital after having the double complete mastectomy. I knew that I was beginning to face these memories from childhood sexual abuse. And I felt afraid. And my husband and I had decided that for the sake of our children, because they were afraid, that he would go home that night and be with our kids. And earlier that day, somebody had sent me a little teddy bear, and it was the Hope teddy bear that they were putting out for breast cancer at the time. And as my husband started to walk out of the room, I felt so afraid. And I started to cry, and I thought to myself, I feel like a child right now. I feel so afraid for him to leave. And I grabbed that teddy bear, and I remember holding it in bed thinking, Becky, you are such a dork. But I grabbed that teddy bear, and in those moments, these words came to my heart. You see, that verse in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the only place in the New Testament where there is a negative used five times. I will never, no, never, not even ever then, will I leave you or forsake you. Never, no, never, even then, no, never. Not when you're going through the divorce. Not when you're facing bankruptcy. Not when you're facing cancer. Not when your best friend slanders you. Not when your children don't want a relationship with you. I will never, no, never, even then, no, never will I leave you nor forsake you. That's the truth. So when I take my mind to what the truth is in this situation, when I take my mind to what's pure in the situation, when I take my mind to what's noble and praiseworthy in the situation, I find that my anxiety begins to quiet. Comparing erodes your confidence and your contentment. Praising God builds your confidence, and you're receiving holy confidence. You see, it's not about being confident in who I am. It's being confident in who He is. I don't need more self-confidence. I need more holy confidence. I need the confidence that comes from knowing that my Abba Father is completely and categorically in love with me and delighted with me. Because when I stand in that confidence, I'm not so tempted to compare myself to other women. I want you to close your eyes this morning, and I want you to think about this, because as women, we are so prone to comparing to each other. And some of you are so in the habit of doing that you don't even know when you're doing it anymore. You know, you think, why can't I look like her? Why doesn't my house look like hers? Why don't my kids behave like hers? Why isn't my husband like hers? Why isn't my paycheck like hers? Stop. You got to have a self-management meeting. And the way you do that is you begin thinking, what is the truth in this situation? And you refocus your mind on who God is and who He says you are. Did you know, for example, that God calls you holy and precious, His treasured possession? Did you know that He calls you dearly loved? When you come into God's presence, it's like He bends down and He says, oh, there's my little Tracy. I'm so excited to talk with her. There's my beautiful one. I can't wait to converse with her. I want you to think in these moments quietly for a moment. What makes you the most anxious? Are you anxious relationally? Are you anxious that maybe you don't have enough to live on? Are you anxious that you're going to be abandoned or that you're never quite going to get whole? God's got it. You start praising Him in advance for what He's going to do. And you're going to find that as you turn your panic into praise, the peace of Christ that goes beyond human understanding is going to pervade your thinking. Now I'm going to invite Carrie to sing, and I want you to just talk to God. Whatever it is that you're most anxious about, I want you to make this commitment right now. I want you to say, Lord, I give you, you might need to open your hands. I give you what I'm anxious about. And I'm going to start praising you that I don't need to worry about it. Maybe for some of you, you just need to say, you know what, God, I'm done comparing. The next time I'm tempted to compare, God, I'm going to go to what's true about you. So you talk to God during this time. And then Tracy's going to come up at the end and close us out. And we're going to have a break, I think, before the next session.
Come all ye weary and ye broken, come to the table of the Lord. Come sing the song of the forgiven, come lay the burden on the word. Come and find peace, everyone needs a little rest, everyone needs a little joy, and a song to sing in the darkest night. In life, even when it gets you down, hope will turn it all around, but love is the greatest of these. Everyone needs a little. Sing all ye saints and ye sinners, call upon the mercy of the Lord. Come sing the song of redemption, sing about the hope that is to come. Come and find peace, everyone needs a little rest, everyone needs a little joy, and a song to sing in the darkest night. In life, even when it gets you down, hope will turn it all around, but love is the greatest of these. Everyone needs a little. He will lift you up. He will lift you up higher than the sorrow. He will lift you up and cover your soul. Come and find peace. Everyone needs a little rest. Everyone needs a little joy. And a song to sing in the darkest night. In life, even when it gets you down, hope will turn it all around. But love is the greatest of these. Everyone needs.